Hello, everyone. Happy Saturday. How's everybody doing today? I am doing well because it's not over 100 today in Texas. I don't know what it's like where y'all are, but it has been really hot. So I am a happy camper that it's a decent temperature today. Come on in, everybody. Welcome to your monthly maintenance call. I am Coach Christy. If you don't know who I am, it's great to see you all coming in. I am one of the No BS coaches in here. I do private coaching with members. I try to be in our maintenance Facebook group as much as possible. And I also am in Ask Coaches. Good morning from Seattle. Cooling off. Yes, hot as balls, y'all. Hey, Jean. Yes, hi from Iowa. Good morning from Montana. 44 degrees. Get out of here, Veronica. That's amazing. Hey, Tammy. Beth, I'm going to be talking about you today. Good morning from LA, she says. 110 in Palm Springs. Oh, Jackie, I hope you have a pool or something. Okay, if you're chatting in the chat, make sure your chat is set to everyone and not just hosts and panelists. It looks like everybody is doing it correctly. Hey, Carly, good morning. Good morning from Wisconsin. Okay, let's get into it. So, this is the maintenance monthly coaching call. As I said earlier, I am Coach Christy. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. I love that we do this call once a month. I love that No BS has a maintenance program for those of us that are either close to maintenance, super close to maintenance, in maintenance, and been maintaining. I don't know any other weight loss program that supports maintenance better than No BS. So I think it's really, really important that we all take advantage of what No BS gives us. This is your open coaching call. So if we want to keep the monthly coaching call, then we need to raise our hands and show our team at No BS that we need some support in maintenance. So if you would like some coaching today, raise your hand and let's see. But I'm going to talk for just a couple seconds about I came across this topic the other day with a private client, and I was like, oh, this would be something good to talk about on our maintenance call. Yeah, Bess, I saw you say what? Yeah, I'm going to get to you, Bess. You posted on Facebook and it caught my eye the other day. So I wanted to just celebrate you, but we'll get to that a little bit later. The other option for you all is if you do not want to get coached today, but you have a quick question for me, pop it in the Q&A. I try to catch questions in the chat, but sometimes it's going a little fast and it's hard for me to scroll. So pop it in the Q&A, and I will be sure and get to that if we have time today, which we usually do. I'm just moving around some windows here so I can see everything. Okay. So I came across this concept with one of my private clients, and she was asking me about she's not quite in maintenance yet, but she's getting pretty close. And she was asking me, like, does it ever feel easy? That's what she said. She said, does it feel easy for you? And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, you know, it does feel easy. And that was what I wanted when I joined No BS. I mean, thumbs up if that's what y'all wanted. Thumbs up if you guys wanted weight loss to feel easy. Do I have? Yes, thumbs up, right? That's why we joined No BS. Corinne made it sound so simple, right? Just four basics. And so she was really asking me, she was like, does it feel easy when you get to maintenance? And I'm like, okay, well, let me think about this. So I started thinking about my own journey. And you guys give me some emojis if this was you too. So when I first found Corinne, that first, I don't know how long it was. I would probably say like 6 months felt so easy. Like I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's this simple. Yeah, some of y'all are saying you too, right? I can't believe it's this simple. It's exactly what she said. This is what I've been looking for. And then I was like, okay, so then some things happened in my life. I know I've shared with you guys my first child went to college, life happened. I was outside of my window of tolerance, and I put on like 15 to 20 pounds after I had already reached my maintenance range. And all of a sudden, it felt hard. Like it just felt hard. And I was like, why? Why does this feel so hard now? Why can't it feel easy like it did in the beginning? And I realized that in my habit brain's desperation to get the 15 pounds off, to get back in maintenance, I fell back into old thinking about what I thought a diet needed to be in order for me to be successful. And that is actually a thing. I was so shocked. So I did a little digging and research, and here's what I found. We all are wired with something called a complexity bias. And when I read about that, here's the definition. Let me just tell you what the simple definition of a complexity bias is. It says our tendency to believe that complex solutions are better than simple ones. Our tendency to believe that complex solutions are better than simple ones. Which is so funny, right? Because when I found Corinne, if I compare and contrast when I first started No BS, I found Corinne, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better because it's simple. Like, this is exactly what I need. I've been complicating it. I've been, how many points and how many carbs and how many macros and what about exercise? Like, I was totally complicating it. She simplified it. It felt so much more doable and it felt amazing. And lo and behold, it worked until I put on the 15 pounds and got myself out of my maintenance range. And then my habit brain took over. And my habit brain was like, see, we can't do it on our own. It can't be simple. We need it to be complicated. Complicated is better. Like the more things you have to calculate, the more things you have to purchase, the better you'll be guaranteed to have success. Right? So, and I believed it because I was desperate. I was desperate. And I thought I was telling myself things like, well, no BS, that simple way doesn't work, Christy. You need to go back to what is a little bit more involved. You need to get control of yourself. Right. And so the diet industry, this is what is so interesting. If you think about all the diets that you guys have tried in the past, thumbs up if you tried really complicated diets. Anybody? Anybody else done like anything like super crazy? Comment in the chat. Kathy, what do you want me to repeat? The definition of complexity bias. Kathy, let me know what you want me to repeat and I'll try to do it. Oh, complexity bias. Yes. It is our tendency to believe that complex solutions are better than simple ones. Smelling markers to reduce cravings. Tammy, oh my God. Wait, does that work? I'm going to try it. What kind of markers? Like highlighters or like smelly markers that smell like food? Kim is laughing. Yeah. Okay. But I'm talking about the diets that really give you a bunch of like rules and stuff, right? Like those complex processes and like all the things that you the weighing, the measuring, the buy this food, buy that food. Here's your list of foods you can eat. Here's how you figure out what's available to you, like all of those things. That is what our complexity bias is, right? So if you've ever done that, I want you to think about why does the diet industry come up with diets like that. If we all know, because all of us, I mean, most of us, right, are probably in maintenance. Some of us might be trying to get back to maintenance, or some of us might be pretty close. Why does the diet industry make it so complicated? Because they know we have a complexity bias and they're trying to sell us something, right? They are trying to sell us a program. And so they harness that. They harness that idea, that complexity bias that we all have, and they make it so fancy. And they say, if you just do these things, I guarantee results, because they know that we're like moths to a flame with complexity bias. So it is all part of marketing. The more complicated, the more, of course, they don't say that, right? They make it sound very simple on all the infomercials. They're like, all you have to do is these things, follow my plan. And then you purchase it and it's like, oh my gosh, you get all the rules, right? And you tell yourself that you've just got to try really hard to buckle down to follow all the rules because, hello, they guarantee success, right? So that's what our complexity bias is. So the question is, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with complicated weight loss? Like, does it equal success? And I'm just going to tell you all, sure, it does. It does equal success. How many of you guys, thumbs up? Thumbs up if you have actually lost weight on some of these diet plans, some of the complicated ones. Me, I lost 107 pounds on Weight Watchers, counting, measuring, using the little slidey thing to tell me how many points shit was, using the little slidey thing to tell me how many extra points I got if I ran on the treadmill for 10 minutes, right? Like I lost weight doing that. So what's the problem with it? The problem is it's not real life for most of us. Now, some of us, it's amazing. Some of us love it so much. They love weighing and measuring. They just have all the time in the world to do that. right? And it works. It totally works, right? The problem is, number one, it doesn't fit into most of our lifestyles. It's challenging to maintain complex systems in the long term. So we avoid it. We avoid doing it. We're like, I don't have time for that today. I can't. My kid just went to college. I don't have the emotional bandwidth to measure out my rice today, right? And so we avoid doing the things. And then, of course, that avoidance leads to less effort. And then, of course, that leads to unmaintainable procedures. But then we still believe that we need that complex. So it ends up being this like this vicious cycle, right? It ends up being this vicious cycle. That's exactly what happened to me. Okay, thumbs up. If you lost a bunch of weight on a diet, gained a little bit back, and then just kept going back to it, just kept going back. That was me. I can't even tell you how many times I rejoined Weight Watchers. Like so many times. They have so much of my money. So many times I just kept going back because I kept saying, the problem is with me. I just need to try harder, blah, 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 blah. The problem was never the diet. It was always me. There was a lack, there was something wrong with me. So, here's the question, though, right? Like, all of this is very interesting. And I'm sure, I don't know, is there anyone that disagrees with me about complexity bias? Probably not, right? So, what is the solution? How do we get through it? Well, as per usual, it starts with how we think about weight loss. It always starts with a thought. Like, before I would even get into the actions of how we make maintaining our weight feel easy, we first have to believe that it can be easy and it can feel easy, which would require us overriding our complexity bias. So we just have to first acknowledge when we're thinking we have to do all the things. How many of y'all, when you were losing your weight, thought things like, oh my gosh, but I didn't fill out my planner completely today with my very special pen. So I'll just, you know what? I'll just eat whatever today and I'll start again tomorrow. Anybody ever do that? That was me when I first started No BS. I was like, oh my gosh, but I left my planner at home. I guess I don't have a plan today. Like I was in that complexity bias. I was like, oh, if it's not complicated, then it's not going to work. So I might as well just start tomorrow when I can make it more complicated, right? Or do all the things. So it starts with an acknowledgement and an awareness that you have this complexity bias. And then once you realize, oh, this is just my habit brain thinking this has to be hard. Then we can remind our habit brain, y'all, weight loss in the no BS way is so simple. It's so simple. All you ever need to lose your weight or maintain your weight, two things. You need your brain and your stomach. That's it. It's that simple. Maintaining your weight is just a matter of your brain and your stomach. What does your stomach say it needs for food and how much? And does your brain disagree? Because if you're like me, if you don't know, if this is your first time chatting with me, then my habit brain's name is Steve. The guy in my stomach's name is Bob. They are often in conflict with each other, right? Bob tells me the truth. He never lies. Steve, he's a little bit of a negotiator, right? So that's all you need to keep it simple. I'm not saying it's easy, right? Because we do have this complexity bias. And for many of us, we've spent years dieting. So we get to maintenance. I got to maintenance in no BS the first time around, like within 6 months. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. But it was kind of like a little bit frustrating for me that I still had all this diet stuff in my head. But then when I really sat back and thought about it, I was like, okay, well, Christy, like, let's get real here. Like, you've been on diet since you were like probably 13. I'm 50 now, right? 4 years ago, when I was 46 and I hit maintenance for the first time in no BS, it's like kind of a fallacy to think that I'm going to undo all of that diet stuff in 6 months. It took time, right? It took a lot of time. It took a lot of journaling. It took a lot of awareness around the rules that I was still trying to pull with me into the no BS way. I was trying to, like, what Chris Kringle calls it? She calls it like Franken dieting or something. Like, I was trying to, like, still pull in, like, food judgment. I was still using some like carb stuff, right? I was still trying to like pull in all this diet stuff and mesh it up with no BS stuff, right? And so I just had to remember Okay, what does Corinne teach us? She teaches us about our thoughts. So then I started journaling, and then I realized, oh my gosh, I'm still holding on to a lot of Weight Watcher crap. Some of y'all might know I went through a period of time where I was still doing my like cheating on the weekends, right? I was still in that Weight Watcher, like, oh, Saturdays are the days that you eat all the things that you can't eat during the week. So I had to work on that, right? I had to go back to keeping it simple. What are the four basics? Corinne doesn't say anything in the four basics about what you should and shouldn't be eating. She says water, sleep, make a plan so you can trigger some emotional thinking when you need to, and doable hunger. It's that simple. We're the ones that complicate it because of our complexity bias. Okay. So, first thing, awareness that you have this complexity bias and that your brain's going to freak out. But the reality is, all you need to maintain your weight or lose a few pounds is your stomach and your brain. And then maybe sprinkle in a couple no BS tools when you find yourself viewing a disagreement between your stomach and your brain. Okay. Like when my stomach says, hey, Christy, we're good. But Steve is like, but it's donuts and everybody else is eating them. Then I got to put in a no BS tool. Then I got to say, okay, what's my urge protocol? What else can I tell myself? Do I need to practice some contentment here? Do I need to tell my brain, hey, we've actually got this planned later, which is better than the donut? I have some no BS skills that I can kind of sprinkle in. Okay. Question. Kathy says, yes, hanging on to old diet mentality. Oh, good morning, Gloria from Arkansas. Yes. Okay. You guys are talking some good stuff here in the chat. All right. Let's see. We've got Astrid has her hand raised. So I am going to, Van Astrid, wait. I know you. Okay, I'm going to pull you up since your hand was raised first. I think we've coached before. So let's see. I'm going to promote you to panelists. I see a couple questions in the Q&A. I'll get to those after our first member that comes up. All right, pulling you up. Here she comes. I see Tammy's hand raised and Kathy's hand raised. We will should have time for everybody today. Thanks, y'all, for being here with me on this Saturday. Okay, we need you to unmute yourself and start your camera. iPhone Van Astrid. That's what you're coming up as me for me. Oh, there you are. Oh, hey, just unmute yourself now. There you go. Should
That's
be
it.
good. Yes, that's it. Good job. It can be confusing.
Good.
Yes, you figured it out. Hi, how can I help you today?
Hi. Let me see. I
Okay.
did a 10 kilometers walk last weekend.
Okay.
I was happy about it. That was my biggest why. But the day after, I could just cry, only cry. I was, I don't know, very emotional, I guess. And the day after that, I was just eating. I don't know what happened. So today, I did another 10 kilometer walk. So now I don't want that from last weekend to happen again. So if everybody was coached, it would be now.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm so glad that you raised your hand. Well, congratulations on your 10-kilometer walk. That's amazing. For those of us in America, I believe that that is like 6.2. Is that about 6.2 miles? I think it is. Something like that. That's great. That's amazing. So, what do you think it is? If you had to guess, like I know you keep saying you don't know what the next day, what you said you were feeling, you were crying. Was it because you were feeling sad?
Yes.
Okay. If you had to take a guess, why do you think you were
Yes,
sad?
in the evening. Not during the day, in the evening that started.
Okay. What were you thinking
I
about
took
in the
that day
evening?
to rest.
Okay. Took that day to rest. Okay. And then what do you think? If you had to
I
guess, why do
had
you
put
think
a
you were
movie
crying?
on. Yes, I put a movie on.
Was it a sad movie? It
Yes. Yes,
was
it
a sad
was.
movie.
That movie, yes. So it was a good
Oh.
cry.
Maybe you just needed to
I don't
cry.
know why. Yeah, I don't know. When I think back now, it could be I got my goal.
You were happy? Maybe. Maybe you
It
were
was a
happy you got your
sad
gold.
cry.
It was a sad cry. Okay, you're sure it was a sad cry, but you watched a sad movie.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting, right? And I do this a lot with my private clients. It can be really helpful to try to understand why we have a feeling that we have. Like, because we want to know, right? Like, our brains want to understand. They want to know, like, why am I feeling sad? Like, what's happening? Right. And that's totally normal because sometimes solutions can be, they can be simpler if we understand the cause, but it's not a requirement. Here's the coolest thing. And this is what we teach in OBS, right? Like, you feeling sad, it could be helpful for us to try to understand it. I mean, we took a guess. Maybe it was the sad movie. Maybe it was something else that we don't quite understand. I'm going to give you a little homework assignment to maybe try to understand. But the cool thing about NoBS is it's not a requirement. Like, here's the question I have for you. How can I feel sad and not eat over it?
Yeah, well, we have this toolbox,
Mm-hmm.
and I tried a couple of things,
Okay.
but there was no good result.
Okay. What did you try?
Calm myself down.
Beautiful.
I was not in my eating chair,
Okay. Smart.
so I removed myself from that. Other than that, I
Okay.
give him.
Okay. So we tried two things. We didn't sit in our eating chair. That's brilliant, right? And we tried to calm ourselves down. What was the point of calming yourself down? Why were you trying to do that?
I felt the urge coming up to eat, and I was not going to give in. It was not. Well, that's why I was trying to calm myself down. I don't want to give in.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever tried the now process?
What was that again?
Okay, I'll tell you. The now stands for notice, open, and witness. And this is what I want to, this was kind of the homework assignment I was going to give you because trying to calm yourself down with an urge is an amazing strategy. That's so good, right? But I want to more focus on allowing the sadness that you were feeling. Because most of the time, when we turn to food, when we're experiencing an unpleasant emotion, it's because we're trying to squash it. We're trying to like cover it up. We're trying to feel something else. We're trying to basically avoid the sadness. But since we actually don't understand necessarily where the sadness is coming from, the other option we have is to just allow it and accept it. And the best way that we have in NoBS to do that is using something called the now process. And it starts by you noticing and naming the feeling. Like it would start by like you starting to sit there and you're saying, "Oh, I notice I'm feeling sad." And you can actually say it out loud. Like that's the recommendation is that you say, "I'm feeling sad," out loud. There is so much relief that can come when we just name our feeling. When we just say, "I'm feeling sad right now." That's the N. The N stands for name, notice your feeling. Just name and notice it, right? Notice and name it. I guess that would need to be the order. And then open stands for let me just allow it to come in. Let me just experience it. Let me just be open to allowing it into my body, not trying to be like resist it, but I'm just going to open to sadness for a moment. And then the W stands for witness, which is where you actually, in your mind's eye, start to pay attention to what sadness feels like physically in your body. We're really just welcoming the sadness. And then we're sort of understanding what does sadness feel like in my body. Okay. We don't need to resist the sadness. We can just allow it. But our brains are resistant to that sometimes because our brains don't want us to experience negative emotions, right? They're always trying to solve things for us. And it's afraid to feel sadness because it thinks it's a problem. Like, oh, we need to fix this. And for a lot of us that join No BS, we fix it by distracting ourselves with food, getting a little hit of dopamine, right? I mean, let's face it, when we're eating, we feel a hit of excitement or joy or whatever it is. That's our brain solution. But if we understand how emotions work and that they really only hang around for a couple of minutes, then we don't have to be afraid of actually allowing them to pass through us instead of us trying to push them away from us. What are your thoughts about that? You'll need to unmute yourself because you muted yourself again.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
You were frozen for me a while.
Okay.
So
okay.
I didn't understand everything.
Okay.
But the last part I did. I allow that unhappiness, that sadness. I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And but I want to try this again, and then with the now process in mind, I think it could be different. It could be different.
Mm-hmm.
I just it was after I accomplished something that big to me, I had such a sad day that I couldn't connect or disconnect. I don't know. It was. I don't know, still don't know if it was connected or not.
Right. And here's the thing. This is your brain just trying to understand it, which I totally get, right? And I'm going to give you, like, you know, I said I was going to give you a little homework assignment. It's going to be the now process, but there's going to be a section A to your homework assignment because I get that your brain wants to understand this, right? So we have a way that we could try to understand it a little bit better. But I just want you to be open to the idea that sometimes our feelings just don't make sense to us. Like sometimes they don't, right? Like they just don't. Like how many of y'all, thumbs up if you have ever been like having the greatest day of your life and then you just end up crying. Like, I mean, it just happens sometimes, you know, who knows? Like sometimes there's maybe something down deep, a thought that we had that we just didn't catch really quickly, but we catch the feeling. We know all of a sudden, you know, and a lot of times for some of us, we can have two feelings about the same thing. Right? Like I can be excited that my son went away to college, but I can also be sad that he left. Like I can have two feelings about the same thing. Right? So that can totally happen as well. But be open to this thought. Sometimes my feelings, I don't need to understand them to allow them. Like we just need to know that whatever our body is offering us is valid and legit. It's legitimate. I don't have to understand why. It could be helpful and we all want to know, but it's not a requirement in order for me to not eat through it because I have this other skill, which is I'm just going to allow it to pass through me. I'm just going to honor my body exactly how it is, which is right now it's feeling sad. Yes, it makes no sense to me logically, but it is for some reason and I'm just going to allow it. Not for nothing, but I'm just going to throw this out there too. Every marathon I've ever done and every half marathon I've ever done, I cry at the end. Every single one. And I used to think it was like joy and pride when I first did it, but there was some sadness in there for me too. And I don't really understand that either. So maybe it's a physical movement thing. I don't know. Maybe you and I can just agree that when we accomplish a major physical feat, I don't know. Sadness just gets thrown in the mix for some reason, right?
He can agree.
Who knows? We'll just agree that it's one of those things, right? Okay, but here's the second part of your homework assignment. Are you ready? So the first one is to try the now process. Name the feeling, be open to it, and then witness it. Think about what it feels like in your body, like physically. Like, what do my shoulders feel like when I'm experiencing sadness? What's my breathing like? What does my heart rate feel like? Where, you know, how does my chest feel? How do my fingers feel? Like, just show your brain, like, let's go do a body scan real quick and let's see what sadness feels like. If I had to describe this to someone, what would I say? Right? That's the now process. Name your feeling, be open to it, and then witness what it feels like in your body and let it pass through you. Right? So that's the first part. The second part of your homework assignment, because I am dying to know this answer too, to see if your experience is like mine. When you are feeling the sadness, if it comes on you, because who knows, maybe it was because of the movie and this will be a one-off thing and there's nothing to work through here. But if it happens again, this is what I challenge you to do. Get yourself a piece of paper and just free write what you're thinking. Just write. Here's what I'm thinking. Don't censor any thoughts that come in. Just, you can write it out like bullet points. You don't have to do it in some beautiful paragraph. You can just write, write, write. Here's a sentence. Here's a sentence. Here's a sentence. And let's see what comes up. Maybe there's something in there that we're not sure of. But the best way I know to hear our thinking, because remember, your sadness that you were experiencing was caused by something that you were thinking. And we just don't know what that thought was. So the best way I know to uncover our thoughts is to write while we're thinking, and we can see what falls out.
Okay.
Okay,
Yeah,
so
I
you have
could try that.
a homework A and a homework B, right? The B could be extra credit
Yeah,
because it's
right.
not required.
That
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, if you're in the
Yeah.
Facebook group, I always say this after I coach. If you're in the Facebook group, come to the Facebook group, let us know how it goes, and you can always tag me again if you have more questions, or come back next month and let me know how it went.
Okay. We'll
Sounds
do
good.
that.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Congratulations on your accomplishment. That's so inspiring to all of us. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye, hon. Yeah, emotions are funny, right? Like, we don't need to always understand why we feel something, but getting to a place of complete and utter unconditional acceptance of whatever comes up for us, it's so freeing, right? It's so freeing to just know, I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but I am, right? And it's okay. And it's a whole other coaching call to talk about why we can't do that anymore, because let's face it, when we were kids, we all had that ability. Right? Okay. Let me answer a question in the Q&A, and then Tammy, I'm going to pull you up next. So get ready, put your lipstick on, girl, and we will get to it. I'm just kidding. You don't have to put lipstick on. Okay. Anonymous attendee says, I want a maintenance range that's just a couple of pounds. I'm curious what you would suggest. I just want it to be 2 pounds, but that seems too narrow. Okay. So here's what I would do. I would journal about why you are wanting it to be 2 pounds. What do you think 2 pounds is going to do for you? Because let me just tell you, without coaching you, this is what it sounds like to me. It sounds like you want to keep it, your range at 2 pounds, because you think you're having a range is going to keep you in check. So I want to know if that is true. Do you think that if you keep it narrow, that's going to keep you in check? Or is there some other reason you want to have it be a 2 pound range? Because listen, this is no BS. We're like Burger King. You can have it your way, sister. Like, you can have it however you want. You want a 2 pound range. You want a number on the dot. I think that would be really challenging, but you can do whatever you want. But my question is, why do you just want a 2 pound range when your habit brain is telling you it feels too narrow? Right? What is your resistance to making it wider? So journal on that. And if you want to raise your hand and get coached about it, you can raise your hand, or journal on it and then tag me in Facebook with what you've come up with, because I need to understand, like, why do you want it to be such a narrow range? My guess is that if you think it's a narrow range, that's going to keep you under control, right? I mean, wasn't the Weight Watchers? I think the Weight Watchers was like a target number, and then you had to stay within 2 pounds, right? I think that, do they still do that? I don't know, but that's how they used to do it. Yeah. So that's my question to you, anonymous attendee. Are we thinking that having a 2 pound range is going to keep us in check? Because we know that things don't control us, right? That's the same thing when we're thinking about making a plan, when we think about our 24-hour plan as, oh, my plan is going to control me. We all know that isn't true, right? Because how many of y'all have ever broken your plan? How many of y'all have ever said, screw this, I want this, right? The plan doesn't control us. It's not our rule, but it can trigger us to utilize an OBS tool. It can provide an opportunity for us to say, hey, I'm thinking about busting my plan. I wonder what's going on. That's the point of the plan, right? Okay, let's see. Here we come, Tammy. Coming on up, promote to panelists. Y'all, I'm getting pretty good at Zoom. I'm getting faster and faster. I was just so glad they haven't changed it. Vern. Hey, Vern. Vern says, definition of runner's athlete's cry. Essentially, your brain is receiving permission to let go. When your body gets tired, so does your brain. And that makes it harder to keep certain feelings that you may be able to ignore at other points during the day at bay. Oh, Vern, I love that you're on this call. Thank you. I knew we weren't crazy. See, it is a thing. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. And that Vern knew that. Yeah.
I know. And that Vern knew that, right? There is actually, in one of my Peloton classes, I remember one of the instructors was, we were doing some like deep hip stretch or something like that. And he said, a lot of people cry when they do this specific stretch because it sort of is like, I don't know, like what are those like points on your body that sort of like opens you up emotionally?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, oh my God, I could kind of see that.
Old negative feelings in our body. It's all stored there. So like I used to get a massage and every time she touched the left part of my ass, like I would cry.
Left ass sadness. Oh my God, this is so good.
Not the other one.
Just the one butt cheek. That's where it keeps it. So I wonder what's in your right one. Like what happens when you massage that?
Oh, I've thought about that too.
Hey, Tammy, it's good to see you. What are we talking about today?
I want to just thank you first for being here for this call. I've been thinking about all the things about maintenance and it's a perfect time for me for this and your conversation, your download about the first 10 minutes, which you're talking about with the complexity bias and all the things that's my brain. Like I was listening to you and I was recognizing thought patterns. So you and I are little twins.
I love it.
So here's what's happening. I was in maintenance. I was there, but I didn't really entertain the identity of a maintainer at that time. Mm-hmm. And so what I was deciding yesterday, and I guess I'm looking for validation. I'm looking for permission. I'm looking for support, which is what y'all do. I would like to identify as a maintainer before I'm actually there. I have 12 pounds to go.
Okay.
And I'm just so tired of wanting and striving and that energy of I'm still losing weight. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm a weight loser, identifying as someone who loses weight, right? I'm wanting to identify as a maintainer. So for instance, like when I got pregnant back in the day, when I found out I only needed 300 extra calories to grow a baby, I was kind of pissed because we had to eat.
That's not what Hollywood says. They says we could sit on that couch and eat a whole tub of ice cream.
I was in. Let me do that. Right. So if it only takes 300 calories to make a baby, then it probably only takes, you know, just this little bit to maintain versus lose. And so I'm just kind of thinking that I'm wanting to do a maintenance plan and my body will figure it out and like trusting that it will all fall into place if I just do that instead of this energy of like wanting, needing, let's go. I'm just tired.
So I hear so much. I mean, how many of y'all can identify with Tammy? How many of y'all can identify with Tammy? I'm just so tired of wanting it so bad, right? Like I just need a break from all the, normally what our brains would say, I need a break from all the things. But really what we want to break from is the hard thinking.
The thinking.
We really want to break from our thinking because our brains are complicating this. Our brains are making this hard. We're waking up every day making ourselves, oh my God, I got to do it today. Today's going to be the day. I'm really going to buckle down and blah, blah, blah. Right. And so here's what I want to ask you. What do you think is different between the way a maintainer thinks, not does, a maintainer thinks about at mealtime versus where you are right now and how you think
mealtime.
About it? Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, I guess they just think like I'm hungry, I'm eating.
Yeah.
But the I guess I want what I want is the thought that I'm finished. I kind of want a finish line, like this runner's cry. I would just like to have the runner's cry and be done. There's something about that.
You mean done with the meal?
No, like done with losing weight.
Okay, we'll be done.
But there's a butt there.
Oh, there's a right butt cheek. What?
There is a right butt cheek. Oh my God. Yeah, there's a butt there. Like we can't be done. This is just a 40-year habit of who I am.
Do you like the way you do you like your eating habits right now?
Yes, for the most part, like the 80%, the meal prepping, I'm really digging it. Yeah.
You love it.
I mean, it's adequate. Like
Okay.
I don't have like intense feelings around it, which I think
Okay.
is good, like
Okay.
stable, calm,
Feel stable and calm around the way you
intent.
eat. How do you feel about your enough?
That's like a new word. I feel like when is anything ever enough? Or when am I enough? When is this situation enough? Like that word is underutilized in my vocabulary.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about stopping it enough with
Fine.
your meals? You're doing it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So where is your overeating that put on the 12 pounds?
Staying up late and eating extra because I'm not sleeping.
Okay.
Like,
Stop doing that, Tammy.
right? Thank you. Bitch slap. Okay.
But here's the thing, right? Because are you focusing your efforts where the overeating is? Because listen, 12, lose the 12 pounds, don't lose the 12 pounds. You're amazing either way, right? Like you are not going to be like, oh my God, Tammy's so much cooler now that she's 12 pounds lighter, right?
Right.
Wrong,
Okay.
right?
Thank
Not going to
you.
happen.
Okay.
There's so it doesn't matter. My question to you is, and this is why this is what we talk about most in maintenance, right? Because this is a very big question. Like, when do I know? When can I let go of losing and just be happy where I am? And there are modules in this in the maintenance course, right? Are you eating in a way that you're happy? Do you like your relationship with food? Is there any emotional eating that you are like, I kind of want to clean that up because I don't want to use food for that anymore? And you just identified an area. So my question to you is that where you're putting your focus for these 12 pounds?
Yeah. And 80% or better. Yeah. So it's
No, I'm
focused
talking about the
on.
nighttime, staying up late and the
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
sleep.
yeah, yeah. I have an intention to not stay up late every night. I have an
And
intention
how are we doing with that?
doing well. It's go the scale's going down. I feel good.
Oh.
It's very systematic, all
Okay.
things.
So the scale is coming down.
Yeah, it is. I think what you know that thing about like in the Q community, right? Like the there's some people who just really want to label themselves, and I'm maybe just grappling with identity in general, but
Good to know.
right, noticing. I guess too, I think that if I have a different label, maybe I'll feel calmer about it,
No.
of how
If we
like
have a
oh.
different label, then we'll have some thoughts, right? Like, what would you want your label to be that would make you feel calmer? Let's start there.
Free. I'm free from all of the bullshit.
Oh.
Oh, did you feel that? I felt that when you did that. Oh, yeah.
I'm free from all of the bullshit.
Yes.
I want you to write that every day, Tammy, the top of your
Okay.
planner. I'm
Homework. I
free from
love
all the
homework.
bullshit. Yes, I'm free from all the bullshit. I'm free from thinking weight loss has to be hard. I'm just free. I know exactly how to lose my weight today. You do. You already told me where it was. Oh, it's nighttime and working on your sleep and the scale's coming down. Brilliant. This is what maintainers do, right? Maintainers, I want you to think about like aircraft maintenance people. This is what they do, right? They look over the whole plane, they find the area, they go to work on it, but they're so confident that the plane will fly. Because look, I know exactly what the problem is.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're so confident.
My son's in pilot training. This is why the air
But it's such a
there.
good analogy. Like,
Right?
I'm
Yeah.
confident that everything will fall into place.
Of
I've learned
course.
all the things. I'm very
Yeah.
aware and I know my body. Oh, but when you said something, when you said I'm a maintainer, like I get
Yeah,
all emotional
maintainer.
in there. Like
Yep.
there's some emotion tied to that.
Yeah. Because it feels easy compared to what the way you were describing it before. You said, I'm just so tired. I'm so tired, is what you said.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's lift the burden here a little bit, right? There's
Ooh.
no rush to lose this 12 pounds. You're amazing just the way you are. We've got all the time in the world to lose these 12 pounds. So we're going to focus because this is the difference between a maintainer and someone who is struggling to lose, right? A maintainer just leans into their habits and doesn't chase a number. They chase habits.
Chasing
Oh,
their
they chase their
spurs.
habits, right? Just
Yeah.
like that maintainer in the aircraft, he chased down the problem, right? He chases the problem. He doesn't chase down why the plane can't fly. He's like, let me get in there. Right? We chase habits in maintenance. We don't chase the scale. We build the life that we want and the relationship that we want to have with food. So we go after with eyes wide open and no judgment where those areas are. And for you, it's in the evenings. And so if you are working on that already and you're setting an intention to get your little booty, your right and your left butt cheek to bed on time,
Oh my God, that's
then
so good. It's
And we
like
watch the
in a
scale go
great
down.
book where you tie the ending to the beginning, like you're just in a bow. It's so perfect. My God.
I just love that, right? And you already are doing it. So your brain is just is just a little bit like, oh, I don't know if we're doing enough. Like, is this, I don't know. And you and but then when I ask you, like, where's your problem? You're like, oh, it's at night. I'm already fixing that, and the scale's coming down.
Yeah, it's just a mental thing.
Yeah, it's just us not having total faith in ourselves, which is normal.
Oh, yeah.
It's normal. Normal, right? Because we've done so
Totally.
many diets that said, you can't trust yourself, trust me. And
Yes.
then we come to know BS and we're like, oh, just trust yourself. You have everything inside of you right now to lose these 12 pounds. You're
Yeah.
already solving it. You just don't even realize.
Yeah, that's a good summary of how this has changed my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
You're
you.
so welcome.
I'll rewatch
So
this, of course.
perfect, perfect. So you start with writing that affirmation that we talked about on your plan every day, and then watch your actions fall into place when you start practicing the thinking that maintenance is easy, possible. These 12 pounds are as good as gone. You know exactly what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, cool.
Let me know how it's going,
All
Tammy.
right, thanks.
Have a great Saturday. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Jenny says, I'm about 2 pounds away from the high end of what I've chosen for my maintenance range. How do I know the maintenance range I've chosen is correct? So this is very much like what we were just talking about with Tammy. Such a good question, Jenny. Make sure if you have not, Jenny, completed the maintenance course, it is on the brand new website. Are y'all loving the website? I hope so. It is under the maintenance course can be found. The maintenance homepage can be found under resources. If you scroll all the way down, you'll see maintenance homepage. If you cannot see that tab, it's because you have not declared that you're in maintenance. So go under celebrations, click on the maintenance tab, apply for maintenance, and then just like magic, Vern will give you access to the maintenance homepage. There you can complete the maintenance course. There's a whole section on how to know if your weight range is the right one for you. So I recommend you go and rush right now, go apply for maintenance and complete that. And there's a bunch of good tips in there. Louise says, life in maintenance. For so long, weight loss consumed my thoughts. Oh, girl, same girl, same. Now I've been in maintenance for a while. I'm feeling in need of a new challenge or project in life. What are some good questions to ask when we are trying to figure out a new direction we want to go in, something new to challenge and stimulate us and help us grow? Thanks so much. Louise, I love this question so much. And this is actually what we're talking about in September. Ha! New challenges. Like, what the heck if we're not working on weight loss? Our brains love a challenge, love something to do. So here's where I would start, Louise. I would start with in your journal, of course, I would make a list and say, here are all the things that I would love to look into, right? As possibilities of things for me to do. And I would just make a list. Don't censor yourself. Skydiving, volunteer at the animal shelter, right? Learn how to play pickleball, write a book, become an OBS coach. Ha, that was mine for a long time after I got to maintenance, right? Don't censor yourself. Just make a list. Just make a list. And then from there, you can start to really hone in on the one that gets you fired up. And then listen to all your negative thoughts come in about it. Oh my God, what are you thinking? You're too old. Who does that? Blah, blah, blah. Let all that come in. And then you just tell yourself, anything on this list is possible. Anything on this list is possible. But we're going to be talking about that in September. So thanks for your question. And Louise, also, that's a great question for the Facebook group too, if you're in Facebook. Okay, Kathy, I want to get you up. Let's see. Promote to panelist. Let's see how we're going. How are we doing on time, everybody? Oh, we're doing so good. We still have 10 minutes. Hey, Kathy, she's coming on up. Was pickleball also on your list? Yes, Vivian, I want to learn so bad. I don't play pickleball, but I want to learn. There's this place here in Fort Worth called Chicken in a Pickle. How fun is that? They serve like chicken tenders and you play pickleball. I'm like, what could go wrong? I mean, what's better? I want to play so bad. Okay, Kathy, you're muted. So I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself. There you go.
There we go. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey, so good to see you. Okay. What are we talking about?
So you coached me a few months ago on, I was like this close to my maintenance. I think I was at the top end of my maintenance range and I just wanted to lose like 5 pounds more. You said 5 pounds. I thought 15 and you said, well, try five and see how that goes.
Yeah.
So I was so excited. I got off that call and I proceeded to gain 14 and it was like, I started, I don't know, rebelling against, I don't know what. I mean, I just went nuts, you know, and so, and excuse me for being, I'm getting over COVID, actually. Oh, but,
I'm glad you're on the upswing from that.
Yeah, it really only was a couple of days, but I'm still congested. But anyway, so I got coached a couple of weeks ago by Corinne, not about that, but just how to, you know, I've had a health thing come up. Since then, a health diagnosis that's like freaking me out. And it's like, well, now I have to lose not only that 14, but more because, you know, and that's all, it all seems so ridiculous because I'm still in a pretty healthy range. And I've, in my head, I want to be in maintenance and I think I am, you know, I'm 170. I was 160 when I talked to you. I'm 170 now. So I've lost a few of those pounds again. But I just talk me through this. Am I overthinking all of this? And am I trying to stay in diet world when I really need to act like, no, you've done the deal. Have some new, like you just said, have some new goals that you're working on that have nothing to do with, you know, food and everything.
Okay, but let's be clear. So we do want to get back down to 160 or we don't?
Yes. I you know, and I don't know that it's the weight as much as the, so my new diagnosis is I have this genetic cholesterol thing that I didn't know I had, which, you know, I have a cardiologist now and they're going to be monitoring stuff. I'm on this heavy duty injectable cholesterol medicine because it's genetic and there's nothing I can do about it. Even though I'm whole food plant-based, I've lost 85 pounds, gained a few of those back, but, and I, you know, I'm very active. And so now my brain is like, oh, well, you don't have time to screw around with this. You're 68, you have this heart diagnosis, all of this. So, although I don't have any, I don't have anything wrong right now with my heart, but, so it was kind of freaking me out. Like, well, now I've got to, you know, just really rein it all back in. So then I'm completely in diet, you know, restrict your calories, only eat best foods, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, cause I lost 85 pounds by eating a combination of all foods. I am whole food plant-based, but I mean, I was still eating you know, chips and whatever, you know, mm-hmm. too sometimes. And sweets was my problem, you know, which is what you and I talked about a few months ago. So just, do I need to just change my focus to like, okay, if your focus is not, would I be better off just making my plan every day, assessing it, which I do, and then just, but really trying to find a new focus besides losing weight or besides, right. you know.
Right. This is what I was talking about at the beginning, right? So what right. I hear, this is what I hear you saying. You could tell me if I'm wrong. What I hear you saying is, because when you say, should I just change my focus? What I hear you saying is, should I stop making this so hard?
Right.
Because which what does changing your focus mean? What does that mean?
Right. I tell you one thing that's kind of interesting. My daughter's mother-in-law has just started. I sent her the free program and she just went on a GLP-1. She has a lot of weight to lose. And I said, just listen to this. I think this is going to help you. And I sent her the podcast, free podcast and stuff. And so she's like texting me every day and we're doing little Marcos together. And it's basically, I'm coaching her and going back in the way back machine to how do you start this? I mean,
you're going back to your roots.
And it really made me realize this is not brain surgery. It's not that hard, but I'm like the last few months I've just been, I think I was kind of panicked because it was like, I was so close. I could taste it when mm-hmm. I was at 160. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I am 15 pounds away from my original 100 pound weight loss goal. And now I'm just like, I don't know. It's like, do I have to be strict to get there? And I don't want to do that. You know?
Okay. So here's what I see. This is your homework, Kathy.
Okay.
Right. Keep catching yourself going back to the panic. Keep catching yourself going back to the past. Okay. Right. Because you're hearing yourself, because you're telling me I'm thinking thing this, but then I tell myself this, like, can y'all sense it? You're watching her have the conversation between her habit brain and her conscious brain. She's like, my habit brain's like, oh my God, we need to complicate. We need to restrict. And then she's like, no, I don't. I actually can just make it simple. It's not brain surgery, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like you're literally having a conversation right here in front of 130 people. Right. So like, this is so amazing. Here's where I want you to spend your time. If you're not journaling, Kathy, you better get in your freaking journal, girl. Every day. That's what I want you to journal about. I want you to give your habit brain a voice. Tell me how hard weight loss is going to be, habit brain. And he's going to be like, oh, but you know, now you have a medical reason, so much pressure. We're in a hurry. We've got to do this quick, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then I want you to say, and what is the truth? What's your, I don't know what you would call it. What's her name?
Beth.
Beth. How is Beth losing weight? I'm going to do it the same way, right? That's what I want you to tell yourself. What's Beth doing today to lose weight? Let me just copy that again, right? Because it is that simple. I have to do to lose this pound. But the problem is when it feels hard is when our habit brain is like, but we're in such a hurry. There's so much pressure. I don't know. You thought that it was going to work and then you gained 14 pounds. Like maybe if that doesn't work, maybe we need to complicate. Nope, it is simple. Here's the thing. There's something that you didn't learn that first time around when you were at 160. And I bet it's around your thoughts about making this easy.
Right.
We need the skill of talking to ourselves more than we're listening to ourselves. Because if we just listen to ourselves, we know what we're saying.
Right.
Right.
We need the skill of talking to ourselves
more than we're listening to ourselves. Hear that shitty thought, but then just go to town, girl. I'll be like, I know you're thinking that, but let me just remind you that weight loss is easy. I know exactly. This is not unlike what I was talking about with Tammy. I know exactly what I'm doing. First of all, can we just point out, Kathy, that you're down 4 pounds of the 14 that you put on?
Right.
Right. Now you've got this new outlet that you're kind of helping a seedling along. Right. Which is great because she is doing it grassroots way. Right. She's just doing the basics. Yeah. She might still be in that that phase that we all were like, oh my God, this is just so simple. I can't believe it's so easy. Right. Why do you think I became a weight loss coach? I'm like, you know what? The best way for me to maintain my weight is to be talking about maintaining my weight all the time.
Right.
So you've got an amazing opportunity to see, someone doing it from the ground and making it so simple. And that's what we need to do here. take the pressure off yourself about these 14 pounds. You know exactly how to get these next 10 off. So easy, right?
Right.
Watch your brain complicate it and make it hard, right? And saying like, but, and it's going to be triggered. That negative thinking about complicating it is going to be triggered if you overeat a little bit.
Oh yeah.
If the scale ticks up a little bit, like just be prepared. This is like me taking you through the haunted house that I've already been through 5,000 times. This is where the ghosts are going to come out. When you have a small overeat, when the scale ticks up, that habit brain is going to feel so freaking loud, right? Mm-hmm. And you just have to remind yourself, this is part of weight loss. Overeating is part of weight loss. The scale ticking up a little bit, it's part of weight loss. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I'm gaining it all back and I'm not making progress. This is all part of it. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, totally. 100%. Okay. And I think I have an appointment next week to talk to a personal trainer because I know, like, I walk every day 3 to 5 miles, but I need to start doing strength training and stuff. And I know that's going to change the number on the scale. Maybe
that's not a helpful thought. You have no idea what that's going to do to the scale. Start with that thought right there.
Yeah.
I have no idea what strength training is going to do to the scale. Some people might gain, some people lose. I have no idea what my body's going to do to that. That's a much better thought than I know it's going to change the scale. Everybody gains weight when they start lifting weight. That's not even true.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I know it's important to get stronger, and that's why I'm doing something else. But I also do know that.
I agree. I agree. I don't know if you know this, but I am a personal trainer, and you're like my 20s and my 30s were all about cardio. My 40s and my 50s are all about flexibility, mobility, and strength, because that's what's going to get me up off the floor when I'm 80.
Me too.
Nobody's going to care when I'm 80 that I ran marathons.
No, I know. But getting off the floor with my grade.
Getting off the floor. Listen, isn't it funny how we change? So that's why I want you to journal every day, and I want your topic to be, what does my brain say is going to be hard about my weight loss? What are my shitty thoughts? But I want you to end your journaling with how you're making it easy and how it's easy and what you know. Okay. This is so much about your mindset because you know the actions.
I know.
You know. I mean, it's just about telling yourself.
Last 2 weeks I've been teaching this and I'm like, that is such good advice. I mean, I'm giving her great advice. I'm like,
you guys have no idea how many times I'm coaching you. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need to remember that.
Yeah. Right.
So true. It's so true. So true. All right. Tag me in Facebook and let me know how it's going as usual. Good to see you, friend. Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. I think we got everything. Okay. Paula says, great discussion. I know we're just 2 minutes over today, you guys, but as usual, you all are amazing. I love you so much. Be sure to tag me in Facebook if you have any questions. Oh, I did want to point out before we go, let me just say, let me scroll up here. Because Bess, I said I was calling you out today. Bess Resnick, if you guys are not in the maintenance Facebook page, it's so fun. I mean, some of us are not Facebookers and that's okay. You don't have to be. But Bess says, today is my 1 year anniversary of maintaining my weight and no BS. I'm 62 and never have I been able to do this. In the past, when I would get to that number, I expected by magic that I could stay there, always gaining the weight I had lost and then more. Thank you, Corinne Crabtree and Coach Christy and all the wonderful coaches and staff at NoBS. This achievement belongs to all of us. I love that she's giving us credit. Of course, Bess, you get all the credit for doing the work. But if that is your handsome husband, you are one lucky gal. So congratulations on 1 year in maintenance. And I will see you all next month in September. Have a great Saturday.